She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
There are things that we all agree on. Not a lot, but some. There are things that we all disagree on. And I don't think that we disagree all the way, but we disagree a bit. Hear me out.
Okay.
If you have a thing that you don't want to do, but you don't really have a good reason why you don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. It's not like you're sick. It's not like you have to work. It's not like you got kids stuff or other obligations, conflict and whatnot. You just don't really want to do it. You don't really feel like doing it. What is the proper procedure for gracefully bowing out of said ask?
Say no.
How often are you saying no over there, big guy?
It's just, why are people so sensitive?
It's a fair question.
Yeah, but if you had a really good friend of yours, or, you know, you're throwing one of your famous parties, whether it's out by the lake, whether it's down there in Florida, and somebody just says, no, don't feel like it. You're going to be hurt by that a little bit.
Why would I be hurt by it?
I kind of agree. Many people would be hurt by it. You would barely remember the interaction.
Yeah.
You would ask, hey, why is so-and-so not here? Completely forgetting.
Thanks for the honesty. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
So
that's
there's
the
two
problem. It's like people are so sensitive. You're like, oh, I gotta. Is it? Oh, dolphin. Is it even make up a lie?
Squirrel.
Can, wait a minute. Time out. Did you really see a dolphin out of your window?
Yeah.
Bougie son of a biscuit.
Different lives we're living.
No, I just wish you could tell it like it is.
Okay, so,
you know,
let's say that each of us are asked to do something and gut, not really into it. Don't really want to. Again, not because I don't like the person, not because I got other stuff going on. I just don't feel like doing it. Can you just say, you know what? No, I don't think I will. And that be it. Or does that open up the door for more questions? Oh, is everything okay? Are you all right? Da-da-da. I like what Chewy is getting at here. I feel like it would serve us well as a society, you know, because that's what we're after here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, always trying to improve society. If we could just say, no, not this time, instead of the alternative, which I think too often is you got to make up a lie, make up something, whether that's, oh, I'm not feeling well, or, oh, my kids, or, oh, I got work, like, I don't like that. I have a very hard and fast rule about I will not lie about something because I always feel like it's possible it'll be found out, and I would rather be seen as mean than a liar. That, maybe that's just me.
I mean, you're splitting a hair there. I mean, both aren't great character flaws that you want about you. But also, I'll ask this. How often do you go to said thing and end up having a good time? Like, okay, I'm glad I did this, even though I didn't feel like it initially.
That's Gabe, because you're incapable of saying no. That's your problem.
That is
you're
true.
You're incapable of saying
That's
no.
Very true. Yes.
You can't say
Speaking
no.
of character flaws, by the way.
Don't yeah. like saying no.
And why is yeah. that? Is that because you're afraid you're going to let somebody down?
Let somebody down, or let an opportunity slip by, or, yeah, things like that. Yeah.
FOMO.
A little bit.
That's good pop. FOMO. There are the FOMO people.
Well, yeah, which is why...
don't want to do it.
Which is why you don't want to say no.
What's the opposite of FOMO?
The not fear of missing out?
Yeah.
Happy to miss out.
Yeah, happy to miss out.
To miss out. So we could go in a bunch of different directions there. Would it be HOMO? No, it's not that. Happy to miss out. Sorry, I can't spell.
Like I always say, there isn't anybody... And you can believe me or not believe me. If I'm sitting on the couch watching a show that I like, pick anyone other than Jesus walking past my house, I wouldn't get off my couch to go and see. There isn't one person, I could care less.
Kind of seems like you're always willing to do stuff whenever Frankie's in town.
Frank's in town. Got asked to do something with him last night. No, I don't want to. It's Thursday. I have my routine on Thursday. I'll see him tonight.
Yeah, but you also know you're going to see him tonight.
Yeah, but if Frank called last night and you were going to see him both nights, you would go both nights.
Maybe, but like if last night was the only chance that you would have had to see Frank and he goes, hey, let's hang out, would you have hung out?
If he comes over here. I'm not abandoning my routine. I'm sorry. I have a routine. I like my routine. That's it.
So what was your Thursday night routine?
Cook dinner, glass of wine at 6, watch the sunset, cook dinner, and then we watched Two Americans and then went to bed.
It's a nice little Thursday night.
Joshy, how do you handle these things?
Poorly.
Okay. Care to elaborate?
Yes, I'd love to. Last night, we live in a duplex. It's upstairs, downstairs. We have neighbors upstairs. Very nice people. I want that on the record. I like them. They have very sweet kids. They make great food. Invited us to dinner. Now, typically, I would have just said, no, it's a Thursday. I don't feel like it. I got to be up early, all that stuff. But we share a space with them. They can hear us. They can see us. So I end up, and this is most often what ends up happening now that I am with Mussolini, I just do it because I don't really have a good way of saying no in those situations because I had no reason last night of not going to dinner. I just didn't feel like it. And going to be honest, I don't feel like it a lot. And there's times where, I mean, Gabe will tell you, sometimes I just tell them, my friends, don't feel like doing it. But I have a certain relationship with them where they know that's not personally offensive.
See, here's the problem, Josh.
People I'm not as close with, though, will be like, well, what the hell? You just don't want to? What kind of excuse is that?
Why do you need an excuse, though?
Because we live in a society.
Yeah. I think most people in that situation of me saying, and let's be honest, the ask, very small. Walk upstairs, have some dinner with us, spend an hour and a half together. That is not a lot.
That's literally the smallest ask you could have. Like, that is the least strain on
you. Yes, but I just didn't want to. I would have preferred to just sit in my house, read my book, go about my night as usual, and it threw off my usual routine, as Chewy mentioned. So I was stuck just going, and I thought, how bad would it have been to just say, not tonight, and don't really give an excuse because we would have just been in our house doing our own thing?
So what we're talking about here, guys, is the benefit of the doubt, which I think universally we need to extend to other people. Like, we just more often in all of our interactions need to extend the benefit of the doubt to other people. This is a lesson I'm trying to teach my almost 7-year-old. It's not going well. Right. Her instinct, whenever she feels wronged or whenever she feels something, is to assume that the other person did it maliciously and they were trying to hurt her. Now, is that a character flaw? Possibly. But we're working to untie those knots with her because, again, going through life giving other people the benefit of the doubt is a much happier way than always assuming people are just a you-know-whats. So I ask you, can we as a group here sort of push that trend, push that idea of, I don't want to do it. I don't dislike the people I would be spending time with. I actually, on any other given night, would likely take part and participate. But just, no, not tonight. And try to just start, you know, drip by drip, breaking down those issues.
But what happens?
Question.
Go ahead, Jim.
Question for the group. Do you guys like the pop-in?
So it depends. Like, there went in the old house in which I lived in, again, the living situation was me and my wife's best friends lived upstairs. They owned the house. It was a duplex. We lived downstairs. And then one of our really good friends also lived next door. Like, a guy I've known since high school. So, like, if he was just, like, walking over and popped in and, like, knocked on our door downstairs, yeah, happy to see him. But now, like, he will text me before he comes to the house because it's obviously more of a, like, oh, I don't know if you're home. Are you home? Yeah, just because he's just going to swing on over to you. He's just going to sit on the couch. I'll hand him a beer and we'll watch whatever's on TV. No, like, that's fun.
So anti. Don't do that to me. Do not do that to me. Because chances are I don't want you there. So just don't do it.
Okay, right? Okay.
Like, so I told my friends, and my friends finally realized, do not call me from Monday to Thursday.
You got don't a lot of social me. Rules is what I'm picking up on. No pop-ins, well, I think no Josh calls from Monday and to Thursday.
Josh?
But I think, but let me just, before we get to that too, I think the thing here is, if you're honest about it, if you're upfront about it, then I don't think you really have an issue. You're telling them what your quote unquote boundaries are for social interaction. They either respect it and continue the friendship around those boundaries, or they say, you know what? Too much of a hassle, too many rules, I'm out. In which case, I think you're fine with that also.
Yeah, I don't care. There's nothing like a good purging.
Just clearing the deck of your friendships? Is that what you're purging?
Sometimes there's, you know, you gotta, you got upset. You gotta rank them.
Wait, you got upset when I purged your phone? Lost all those numbers? I tried to put the
Gabe,
Outlook
here's the
app
problem.
On there.
Here's the problem, Gabe, and Craig taught me this years ago, okay? You put your enemies or people you don't like in your phone so you have the number so when they call you, you know not to answer.
Do you put a little note, though, next to it that says, yeah, it says do not answer. I'm not going to do the acronym again because I've already shown I'm not very good at it, but just the letters for do not answer.
DNA. Yeah. I did it for you.
That one's okay. Like, that was like
my guy back there. He saw the weakness. He saw the issue and was like, let's not put her in that position again.
But Angie answers every phone call. Every phone call. Even if she doesn't know who it is, she answers it. So my phone will ring.
Even if it says spam, likely?
No, if it says spam, no. But like the other day, I don't know, I got a call from Michigan or something. And she's like, answer it. I'm like, no. What if it's someone that I don't want to talk to? That's too dangerous.
Okay.
You know what the funniest is? LinkedIn is the dumbest thing ever. I'm sorry. It's so stupid.
The one
people
form
send
of
me
social
stuff
media
on LinkedIn,
that you have.
LinkedIn, like just baiting you to talk to them, you know?
Chewy, I can't remember the last time I logged into LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I don't use it at all. Now, well, if I found myself in a different employment situation, perhaps then we would become more acquainted. But right now, that is not something that I am checking on a daily basis.
So saying no, I think, is in social situations that you don't want to go to is fine. But what if those no's start piling up? Like somebody at, like, are you going to start feeling guilty? Oh, I've already said, hey, I don't feel like it three times to this person.
This is a great question. What is the, how many no's are you allowed before you don't? Because I got to tell you, I think that we are in that boat. Dario and I are in that boat with one of our friend couples. They have asked us to do a lot of things. We always are excited to do it. We want to do it. But especially in the fall, work gets in the way. And so now we have said, oh, no, or we have not done, or we have not gone. And now I don't think we're getting invited anymore. I think I said, and I said this to my husband the other day. I said, hey, if we want to hang out with them, we got to call them. We got to make it happen because now we are the boy who cried wolf. Right?
Yeah.
We are the, yes, absolutely. We would love to. Let's go. We're going to be there. RSVP, yes. Don't show up.
But isn't it on them?
No.
No, especially if you RSVP yes and don't show up. That's on you.
Well, it was a Christmas party. We were supposed to be there, and then I got sent on a work assignment and very upset
about
that.
See, my circle, you guys know I have circles, right?
Yes.
There's a circle, and then there's another circle. Like, a ring of circles is, like, telling you, no, we don't have that kind of relationship. The only relationship we have is there's got to be four other couples around for us to hang out with you.
I'm working through the ring of circles. What's a ring of circles?
Well, because you have the inner circle,
uh-huh.
And then you have a circle outside the inner circle, and then another circle outside of that circle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, Chewy, can you move?
It's like the rings of Saturn.
Can you move circles?
Yeah, you can move up or down.
In
circle
and out.
Jump.
Circle,
yeah.
Circle what?
Okay. Circle jump.
Jump, jump.
Careful.
Oh, I thought you said something.
Dying to try not to lie. Everybody's talking over
Look at that.
Other.
Time to go to break. Oh, boy.
We do need to go to break. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. We're just figuring out what the social parameters are for the no. Can you just say no? Can you say, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, and have there be no hard feelings? Or are we not there yet? Do we need to be the people who start the drip, drip, drip to gradually wear down the no is acceptable? Let us know. 800-990-3776. That is the Carbless talk and text line. Jason Wilde is next on ESPN Milwaukee.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, look, there's only one place to go. It says here the Jewelry Center has to be the first stop, but if we're being honest, we know it's going to be the last stop, because that's where I went to get the engagement ring for my wife. It's where Chewy went to get a great gift for his wife at Christmas. Whether it's naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. My favorite part, though, about the Jewelry Center, yes, they have great selection, unprecedented, it's fantastic, but it's the helpful team that Dean has put together at the Jewelry Center that puts their team over the top. So if you're not quite sure what you want that engagement ring to look like, but she's got ideas on a Pinterest board, bring some of those ideas in, and the team of experts always going to point you in the right direction. Learn more about their engagement ring selection or any other services at shoptjc.com, or stop in today. Three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. When you go to the Jewelry Center, just make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offense's dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Appreciate Jason Wilde spending some time with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know what? I appreciate the honesty. We're talking about, you know, just being forthright with how you're feeling. We were talking about how if somebody, you have plans with somebody, and they ask you, well, hold on. The story is, if someone asks you to do something, and you don't really want to, is it okay to just say, no, I don't feel like it? Or does that open up a whole other Pandora's box of issues for you? What do you think, Jason?
Well, first of all, nobody asks me to do anything anymore, because I'd never do anything with anyone. So that makes it easy. Just because I keep thinking about, and you know this better than I do even with Chase, how... the next time I'm going to blink and the girls are going to be like off to college and have completely forgotten about me. So we focus on them and hope that our friends will still like us after they leave for college. So I don't get asked that very often, but when I do, I usually just, I'm generally an oversharer, giving too much information. Oh no, Sydney's got a volleyball tournament and then she's got a basketball tournament. When I should just say, no, that doesn't work for us. Which I think is the best way to, that if I were Joshy and I'm looking to take it easy on people's feelings, not just, no, I don't really want to do anything with you. That's what I would go with. That doesn't work for me, but maybe another time.
Yeah, but Jason, can I ask you this? How many times do you have to say that until they get the, they get it where they don't ask you anymore? That you just don't want to do, which is fine. I'm kind of the same way.
Again, nobody asks me to do anything anymore. And I don't say that with sadness. It's the reality, and that's my own doing. So this is, I'm glad Josh is such a forthright, honest guy. But I'm impressed that he's able to do that, because it does feel like, it opens up, as Jen so eloquently put it, a Pandora's box of other social issues.
Jason, how big of a blow is Campanelli?
I think it's a huge blow, Chewy. Like, you know, how you feel about Andy Reid, I think that's how those linebackers feel about Campanelli. And what I was really impressed with him in talking with Quay Walker and talking with Edgerrin Cooper and Eric Wilson is that while he was, you know, he kind of came in with this reputation because of that viral clip from Hard Knocks where he's dropping F-bombs and doing this whole spiel to his Dolphins linebackers. He that was kind of a misrepresentation of his coaching style. And he and I actually talked about something that I firmly believe in coaching, which is you treat everyone fairly, but you don't treat everyone exactly the same. And, you know, he really understood how to connect with his guys. Like, you know, I think I told you guys about this. I had this conversation with Quay Walker when he had started to play really well, and that he's just, he might be the most self-loathing player I've ever covered. Like, he could not get himself. He's such a perfectionist and so demanding on himself that even when he was playing well, you know, all those fans that thought he sucked, he kind of agreed with them. And I talked to Campanelli about it, and I thought it was really interesting how he was like, you know, went in depth into how important it is to figure out the best way to unlock specific players and how to connect with them. And, you know, he, using Walker as an example, he said, there are guys that you don't have to beat them down to say, all right, you can't do this. And what are you doing here? And what is this? They already know it. And I got to do a little more building as opposed to a little less tearing down to get them to where I want them to be. And so, you know, he's a really smart guy. Obviously, he's only been in the NFL for 6 years. He was in college for a long time. Halfley is one of his biggest mentors. They had always wanted to work together. They end up only working 1 year together. But I think that's a significant loss. Now, I do think they feel good about Sean Duggan. I think they brought him in as a defensive assistant in part because he's been with Halfley going all the way back to Ohio State in 2019, but also in part because they knew Campanelli was a good coach and that he might get an opportunity like this.
So with the other assistants, Sean Mannion looks like he's going to be promoted to quarterback's coach. They go external to bring in DeMarcus Covington, who was a defensive coordinator last year, to be the defensive lines coach. I'm guessing you know more about Mannion than you do Covington at this point.
Well, I do. I mean, I did my reading on Covington, and I found a quote from Bill Belichick in 2022 where he just raved about him. And this is a guy who played wide receiver in college, then coached linebackers for Belichick, and then coached the defensive line for 4 years, and then became the defensive coordinator for a year. So, you know, he's got a varied level of experience. So I think that's really interesting about him. But Belichick, you know, and Lord knows Belichick doesn't rave about much of anything, really raved about him when he was talking about him back in 2022. So that's all I know about Covington. I don't know. My sources were telling me that Dan Orlovsky was going to be the quarterback's coach. So I'm really surprised by this Mannion promotion. Now, my sources were simply Mark Tauscher. So maybe that was why that I had bad sourcing. We're only as good as our sources, and obviously that source was poor. But, yeah, look, I know Tausch wanted me to have to bury the hatchet with Dan Orlovsky for always big-timing us after he hit it at ESPN, but and now he doesn't big time us because they just invite him to come on when I'm not on. But this was, I don't want to say this was a foregone conclusion, but it kind of was. Like, you bring in Sean Mannion, you get him to pass up on other opportunities at this time last year, including, like, I love this story. Like, LaFleur, first of all, LaFleur approaches him before they played the Vikings. Remember when they got booed off the field in 2023 against the Vikings? LaFleur talked to him before the game because he was the backup at that time behind Kirk Cousins. And he basically recruited him, hey, when you're done playing, I want you to coach for me. Mannion had obviously been a backup in L.A. Behind Jared Goff. And then he was going to interview after the season with the Bears, and LaFleur called him during the NFC Championship game And Mannion kind of went through what his presentation was going to be for the Bears. And basically, Matt LaFleur said, boy, that sounds really good. Maybe you should make sure you talk to me before you take a job from them. And he got him to take this offensive assistant job. So my point is that this was all along, I think, the line of succession with the quarterback's coach. And I think this is really important. This is a crucial year in Jordan Love's development going into year three. I thought this made sense all along. And I'm really curious to see now that he's had a couple years with the old school fix your footwork, fix your fundamentals coach as his quarterback's coach, what a new style former player type coach is going to do for him.
I mean, it's a good thing, Jason, because Dan Orlovsky, you can't trust anybody who spits out the chocolate while eating a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, I didn't know that about him.
I didn't know about it either until Ryan Clark tweeted out yesterday. Like, he's sitting there eating a Reese's peanut butter cup and says, oh, I don't like milk chocolate. Like, you can't just go get peanut butter then. He's sitting there, he's eating a peanut butter cup, and he's spitting out the chocolate. That's so weird.
I don't want to diss one of Jen's colleagues, so I'll just say that that's not how I eat a Reese's peanut butter cup, and especially considering that when it's Halloween, I eat about six of them at a time.
Yeah, I just housed a Christmas tree yesterday. Stole it from the kids' stocking pile. Oh, lovely.
Statute of limitations on that, yeah.
We just had a Christmas party for the family the last week, though.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're good. They're new-ish.
Oh, okay. All
they're
right.
Newer.
Happy New Year!
Yeah, exactly. On January 30, what are we, the first now? 30th? Mm-hmm. What is today?
31st.
31st. Okay, yesterday was your birthday. Yeah. You didn't tell us. Yes, yesterday was the 30th. Got it. All right. So, Jason, from a player acquisition standpoint, it feels like Packers fans want a big splash. Max Crosby's name has been out there. We have gone over that ad nauseum. Obviously, there are other people that we have talked about as well. But Trey Hendrickson is the name now that people are interested in part because of what was said yesterday, which is that the Bengals recognize he has earned an extension, he has earned a bump in pay, but it takes two to tango, or whatever the saying is. So apparently, it's not a done deal that he will be staying with the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you think that Goody should make a push for Hendrickson?
Yeah, I love him. I mean, he's a really good player, and he's been really productive. How old is he?
Just turned
now?
30.
Yeah, I mean, again, Goody talked about players that are on the back end of their careers. Now, I didn't love the way that question was asked to him, because the way the question was asked was when a guy is toward the back of his prime, which I would say Hendrickson is, as opposed to the back end of his career. But, you know, he brought up Reggie White and said he was on the back end of his prime when we signed him. He was 31, though. But with the way Goody looks at this, this would be a third contract for Trey Hendrickson, and that, to me, is not something that he wants to do. So, you know, Max Crosby is 4 years or 3 years younger. That stuff matters to him. Again, I'm not saying they're getting Max Crosby either. In fact, I got to think that Pete Carroll's hiring changes that calculus. But, yeah, he's a really, really good player. You saw it all season long. The Bengals are in a tough spot, right? They've got two wide receivers they need to pay. They've got him they need to pay. They're going to have to figure out who stays and who goes. But, boy, I'd be really curious. I'd be really surprised, and I think Packers fans would be thrilled if they actually made that sort of a splash signing. But again, 30 years old just feels like with Goody, not for everyone in the NFL, but for Goody, that seems like maybe a milepost that he's not quite so sure about signing a guy at that point.
But Jason, Goody's MO is not to trade for a player and then give him a blockbuster deal, because there's no way Hendrickson's coming here there's no way he's going to ask for less money than Rashard Gary, because Gary's not that good. Would you agree?
Yeah, if I'm first of all, like, I don't know how players view things. Like, you know, he's been to a Super Bowl, right? Do you look at this as, do players look at this as, hey, this is my last chance to really cash in big? Or is it, all right, I'm going to look for a team that's going to be a good fit, that I'm going to make good money, but maybe not as much money, but have a chance to have a Super Bowl ring in my career? I don't know. If you were at the back, again, I'm not saying he's at the end of his career, but 30, this is probably his last bite at the big free agency apple. What are you looking for here? Are you looking for the biggest payday or not?
Let me just say this, Jason. I signed the year we went to New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and Keith said, and Keith was in his 30s, so I think Keith was 31 or 32. Keith says, I'm not coming back unless you pay me the same amount of money that Chewy's getting. And I didn't care because I already got paid, and the Packers did it. So I don't know.
Man, who on earth would ever say, I'm not coming back unless I get the same amount as Chimura? Like, the Packers must have clearly overpaid you that anybody would say that.
Jason, this game is all about fooling people. You know that.
You've done a great job of it, buddy.
I
always respect that about you.
Yes.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
For whatever it's worth, Trey Hendrickson was the only bright spot on that defense in Cincinnati that was oft and duly criticized all year long. He would be an instant upgrade for the Green Bay Packers, but to everyone's point, it's got to work out. He did request a trade back at the beginning of the 2024 season, so, you know, there might be some complicated feelings going on between player and organization that the Packers could take advantage of. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Craig Karmazin coming up next. Stick around.
X-Golf located at American Family Field, open year-round. That means right now you can go to X-Golf, American Family Field, work on your game, and enjoy just the great atmosphere that they've built inside the ballpark. That's right. X-Golf inside American Family Field, overlooking left field, so you get a great view of the ballpark. But then you still get the state-of-the-art simulators that you get at any other X-Golf. Plus, inside the ballpark, menu's just a little bit different than all the other X-Golfs as well. You can enjoy some of the great food, the full bar menu as well. Hey, go get a lesson taught by my guy, Andy Barrett, who's their PGA Pro at X-Golf at American Family Field. Find out more and book your sim time today. X-Golf, amfamfield.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
so many things to get to with Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing on this fine Friday?
Good morning. I just think about walking in, standing up, the straightest and tallest I've ever stood up when I drove to school for the first time.
Atta boy.
Bringing it back, huh?
Welcome to the club.
Josh was like, we're not going to bring it back. We're not going to bring it back today. Craig's like, we're bringing it back. And if you missed that clip, it is available on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on our Twitter account, on Instagram, and everywhere else on the internet.
Coming from a guy whose driver took him to school for high school.
Hey. Never had a driver.
Chewy's got my... Wait, you got my back now? What's going on?
Yeah.
Did get a speeding ticket on the way to school.
How fast were you
within
going?
The first week.
What?
How fast were you going?
Like it was like a 25, and I was going like 48.
Oh my goodness!
Jeez.
So it was Angie, the school zone then.
Angie took out a bicyclist on her way home from the test that she got her license.
What?
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, Chase,
is the podcast called "That's the Most Horicon Thing"?
Chase made it through his whole first day as a driver with no incidents. So we are. We're doing well so far. Craig, I want to ask you a question. There's an article out there that talks about the importance of GMs, basically saying that the biggest difference in rosters is hitting on your early picks. They're talking about Brian Gutekunst and Howie Roseman for the Philadelphia Eagles. We have joked here on this program that Howie got all of the good former Georgia players. I almost said Giants. Georgia players. And that Goody's getting the other Georgia players. Do you agree that the difference between success and, you know, falling short of your goals is a good GM?
Well, if we're talking about the NFL, I still just don't think it could be argued that it's the quarterback and the coach, right? I mean, that's what we've seen be successful. And I don't know that anyone would argue that the Chiefs have a better roster than the Eagles, but I think the Eagles have a significantly better roster, but the Eagles are favored in the game. The Eagles are favored in the game. The Chiefs are favored in the game because of the quarterback and the coach. So, sure, if you're talking about the quarterback, but I don't buy it.
Yeah, but there's things you can do to help those two things out, right? I mean, it is sure nice to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and it's very nice to have a Kelsey, right?
It is, but I think Kelsey isn't Kelsey without Patrick Mahomes.
I agree. Or Andy Reid.
Right. I mean, I think it's quarterback and coach. I think those are the two most important positions. And I think, like, we look at Ryan Poles in Chicago, and I think the most important thing the GM has to do is pick the right quarterback and pick the right coach. And I think we know he didn't with Eberflus, and we still don't know if he has. I think, you know, he probably has with the quarterback. I mean, he didn't pick Jaden Daniels, which he had the choice to do. But I think that's ultimately the GM's job, because I think you're going to get a bunch right, you're going to get a bunch wrong. Ron Wolf was not good at drafting in the first round. I think we would all agree, if you go through the first round picks, he was not good at drafting early rounds. He was better at, like, the thirds and the beyonds. So I think it's get the quarterback right, get the coach right, and then you're going to get some right, you're going to get some wrong, because everyone has the same information.
Yeah, but he's as good, if not better, than Goody. Goody's first round picks have been blah, especially defensively. I mean,
yeah, but you get some right, you get some wrong. Like, you get a linebacker in the second round that is as good as a first round pick, or like I think that all balances out with the draft. I think it's, if you have a good coach, you have a good quarterback, all the other stuff kind of balances out.
So, do the Packers have the right coach and quarterback?
Yes, I think they do. I mean, I think they absolutely do, and you know, and we've seen it with, you know, Who goes to the playoffs and wins against the 2 seed in their first year starting, and then backs it up against a tougher schedule, you know, a playoff schedule with double digit wins, right? Like,
who
I
goes,
think they have
who goes
it.
In
it.
Who goes in as a 1 seed and loses?
Lions.
Hello.
It's like, is this a trivia question? Is this rhetorical? What are we doing
no,
here? Trying
he's
to make
sitting
a point.
There saying Goody's doing such a great job, Craig. They were number ones twice. And crap down their leg.
Right, but again, I think that's an arbitrary, you lose one game. Like, crapping down their leg against the 49ers at home, when the 49ers had no offense and the Packers played so conservatively and had to have a punt block to lose that game. It was like, I mean, that's not Goody's fault, right? I mean, that was Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur.
I agree.
There's no way they should have lost that game at home. I mean, Gabe can remember the game better than I can. But, I mean, even the long completion to Aaron Jones in that game, Aaron Rodgers didn't throw the ball well. It should have been a touchdown. I mean, like, those games you can't blame Goody on. Now, maybe you blame Goody on the loss against the Buccaneers because Aaron Rodgers had nobody to throw the ball to in that game. But still, LaFleur kicked the field goal, you know, in a one-score game, and, you know, they didn't get the ball back.
Craig Karmazin hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's pivot to the NBA for a moment. Bucks taking on the Spurs tonight. Trade deadline not too far in the future. Couple of things. One, do you want to see the Bucks make some moves? What do you want them to do? Who do you see them trading? And I know it's always complicated with your role and whatnot, but what would you like to see the Bucks do here?
I think the Bucks biggest advantage over everybody else. If you're going to take what the single biggest advantage the Bucks have over every other team is their continuity. And to me, I don't see, oh, they're going to get so much better by trading the names that people are saying they're going to trade. So I think their best bet is health, right? We haven't had that in the postseason since the championship year. So I think, you know, I'm not saying it's a better than 50% chance that everyone's going to be healthy because we've seen injuries, but I think the best bet is keep this team together, you know, continue to not let Chris play back-to-back games and be healthy for the postseason. And I think a veteran team like this has, you know, with the youthful, with AJ healthy, with Ajax, I think this team has a great chance in the postseason if this exact team is healthy.
So you like where they're at?
I like where they're at if they are healthy in the postseason, yeah. I mean, I think you started to see it over the last few weeks. You start to see what they can be. And I think they would have a really good 8-9 player rotation right now if you look at who this team would be in the postseason and a little bit of depth within those role players.
But isn't the reason you add pieces to help, one, preserve health, and two, if you're not healthy down the stretch, as the Bucks have not been, you have, in case of emergency, break glass options?
No, I don't think. I mean, I think the guys that matter enough to be the difference makers, if they're hurt, you're not going to replace them. Like, it's not like, oh, we got this guy, so if Dame, you know, was hurt again like he was last postseason, like, if Dame's hurt, like, that's what your team is built to be. And I don't think you can win with that in that way in the NBA, right? Like, I think you have a few players who decide things. So every team always thinks they're one player away. And I did think we were one player away, and it was PJ Tucker a few years ago. And I have facts to back that up. That wasn't just after the fact. I could show you the text. But I just don't see it this year. I think this healthy version of this team can beat the Cavs. I think this healthy version of this team can be competitive with the Celtics, and I would give us a chance to win in a seven-game series.
Do you think Chris is better coming off the bench?
I think Chris is a really good fit coming off the bench and getting into a rhythm that way, and I don't see us winning playoff games if he's not part of the finishing unit.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the game. So I like him coming off the bench, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to play with the other guys. I think he's part of the he's not part of the starting five, but I think he's part of the finishing five.
So we're basically holding our breath, Greg, right?
I mean, that's my – I mean, you're saying that no one gets hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you could – I mean, you're the athlete, not me. I don't think you can think that way, but I think as a fan, you might have to because, I mean, obviously Giannis was hurt, you know, two different postseasons.
Yeah.
And Chris Middleton was hurt the other. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. It's this team after the 2-8 start has shown they can play with anyone if they're healthy.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the Weekly Wager the other day, Craig. Giannis Antetokounmpo's odds to win the MVP are plus 10,000. And that's third, by the way. You got Shea first, minus 500. You got Nikola Jokic at plus 300. And then you've got Giannis at plus 10,000. You think there's enough time left in the season for him to make a run at that award?
Who's
wait. Plus 1,000 or plus 10,000?
Plus 10,000.
No.
That can't be.
That can't be.
Who is Shea?
Guys.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm literally looking at Potawatomi Sportsbook right now. Minus 500.
By the amount of zeros.
All right. How many zeros are in 10,000?
Four.
That's how many zeros are in front of me, gang.
That's wild.
So we talked about this on the Weekly Wager the other night. Thanks for listening, gang. But we were saying, like, given Giannis and how he could put together a stretch here, we're not even at the All-Star break yet. He could put together a stretch where he is just dominating night in and night out, and you could watch that number change. That, to me, feels like a number we're throwing a little down on.
I can't comment on any wagering around the NBA or
specific
players on other teams, but if you think about it, the NBA has a 66-game eligibility for awards, and last year Joel Embiid was a huge favorite to win the MVP award. So the idea that he could be third and be that high in odds is crazy because there is no guarantee yet that the two people ahead of him will even be eligible for that award, right? I mean, you still don't know if that will be the fact that they will be eligible. By the way, SGA, Chewy, Shea Gilgis, Alexander, you are with many people who do not know who he is. Mm-hmm. He has only won one postseason series with the Thunder. You will love this guy. He does not just shoot threes. He has a mid-range game. He scores at all three levels. He's a tough defensive player. He's a great leader. And just one of the amazing, amazing names and players that the NBA is in such good hands with as we look at the future stars.
Okay. I'll have to watch.
Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Just so you know, if I'm Joshy, I think you don't have to go to the party, and no one would care if you weren't.
So are you having a party for the Super Bowl? Greg, you having a Super Bowl?
I'm going to the game. Going with Uncle Butch. With Uncle Butch?
You're
back
weak.
In the mix.
Oh, he's going to the game? I love Uncle Butch.
Uncle Butch, he knows. Shay, he does not. It's a wild ride you take us on, Chew, every single morning.
Oh, I know.
All right, Craig, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm glad he weighed in on the party thing. We did ask you this morning, if you get invited somewhere and you don't want to go, can you just say no? I don't think so. Not really up for it this evening. Or do you have to come up with an excuse, come up with a lie? Oh, I got to work. Oh, my kids. Whatever it is. Because society can't handle the truth. A few good men. We'll be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story. Because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Joshy, there is some fibbing happening on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Are people fibbing?
I do think so.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Is no, I just don't feel like going out tonight a good enough answer to get out of plans with friends. 81% of people are saying, yeah, it is. It's good enough. It's fine.
I think people would like to believe themselves as somebody who would accept that and would hope their friends would also accept that. But I think we've all been around the block enough times to know we don't get that answer often, and you have a good feeling that's what's going on for most people. Wouldn't you say? Not everyone is in that spot, but many people, it's like, well, that's hardly an excuse.
I would love to know the percent of the 81 that have actually used it.
Tried?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll put on people this weekend. Go try it. Go out and try. Like, when someone asks you to do something and you really don't want to do it, and we're not saying cancel plans that you're excited for. We're not saying cancel plans you have tickets for. We're not saying anything that you actually are committed to and excited about. But if you genuinely don't want to go, why don't you try it out this weekend? And let's just see if there's shrapnel, right? And look, here's the problem. You might not even know that there's shrapnel for
an
extended period of time, right? But what you can do is later on tell the people that were involved in the the interaction, hey, I was just trying something. What do you think? How did it work? It's like one of those when you try a product and they bring you in the little room and they ask you.
Focus group?
Yes, exactly. We're doing a focus group here on Jen Gabe.
How do you think people would be like, you are my guinea pig. I'm trying this new thing. Feel like they'd be worse.
Make it worse.
Yeah.
Wouldn't make it better.
I know, but somebody's going to have to take the heat for it. Like, we're trying something here, okay? There's going to be a few cracks when you break some eggs. No, shells. What? What is this?
Sheesh.
You should stay away from all sorts of references, acronyms.
Generally speaking, or just today?
For the rest of the week. We'll start fresh on Monday.
Fair enough.